Is the teacher of God then to avoid the use of words in his teaching? No, indeed. There are many who must be reached through words, being as yet unable to hear in silence. The teacher of God must, however, learn to use words in a new way. Gradually, he learns how to let his words be chosen for him, by ceasing to decide for himself what he will say. This process is merely a special case of the lesson in the workbook that says, "I will step back and let him lead the way." The teacher of God accepts the words which are offered him and gives as he receives. He does not control the direction of his speaking. He listens and hears and speaks. A major hindrance in this aspect of his learning is the teacher of God's fear about the validity of what he hears. And what he hears may indeed be quite startling. It may also seem to be quite irrelevant to the presented problem as he perceives it, and may in fact confront the teacher with a situation that appears to be very embarrassing to him. All these are judgments that have no value. They are his own, coming from a shabby self-perception which he would leave behind. Judge not the words that come to you, but offer them in confidence. They are far wiser than your own. God's teachers have God's word behind their symbols, and he himself gives to the words they use the power of his spirit, raising them from meaningless symbols to the call of heaven itself. If you should have a doubt in listening and trusting that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and through you, if you should have that doubt, one of the most helpful prayers is the one that was given to Bill Thetford. It's in the beginning of the text, and it goes, "I am here only to be truly helpful. I am here to represent him who sent me. I do not have to worry about what to say or what to do, because he who sent me will direct me. I am content to be wherever he wishes, knowing he goes there with me. I will be healed as I let him teach me to heal." This is a process of trust and a process of surrender. Only the ego gets embarrassed. In this situation, we are afraid when we first start listening and following what the teacher within tells us to say. We start questioning whether or not it is true that we're really hearing the Holy Spirit. We will question whether or not it's going to, quote-unquote, help the situation as we perceive it. We will also question whether or not this is going to make us look bad or good, still coming from a sense of a split mind. And while we're questioning all these things, we're judging. And the point is to have an open mind, to really step back and allow, "I do not know what's going on. I do not know what the problem is. I do not know what the solution is. The only thing I know is that in this moment, whatever I feel guided to say, I will say." You know, when we start tuning in to the inner prompts that the Holy Spirit will give us, that will show us whether or not what we're saying is in line with what we really need to be saying or not. And in that, we'll also get the prompts to shut up, to stop speaking. We'll get the prompts that say, "All right, you're done. Stop. Don't say anything. Or just let your brother speak." And then we'll get the prompts to speak. And so it's important not to be in the story of it, of what it means to be truly helpful. To be truly helpful is to surrender and to allow the teacher of God to speak through you. And in doing so, he teaches you what you really want. He teaches you the truth. And that is why it is true that when we teach, we learn. And we teach to learn. There have been many people in the course of their curriculum that have asked themselves, what is the point if we're only teaching ourselves? What is the point of speaking to anybody? What is the point of talking to anybody? I mean, if we're not fixing anybody anymore, and we're not trying to change anything in the world anymore, then what is the point of talking to anybody? And while one is going through that curriculum, it seems like it makes a lot of sense. But the reality is that you do not go alone. Your brother is yourself. When you speak to your brother, you speak to yourself. And if you allow the Holy Spirit to be the guardian of that, then the Holy Spirit will be healing your mind and healing your brothers in that process. So speak or don't speak, but do as guided and tune in. Because there are many, like it says here, who must be reached through words, being as yet unable to hear in silence. When you say something to a brother because you're guided to, and your brother starts to awaken because he recognizes the truth behind the words, in that moment, you are that miracle worker for your brother. In that moment, your brother who needs to hear them in words first, who doesn't really remember who he is and that the voice for God is within him, who's still looking in the world for his answers, will hear them where he's looking and start to awaken when he's ready and the words are there. That's why we get guided to listen to certain songs, read certain books. We get guided to listen to certain people, talk to certain people, process with them, to pray in certain ways, and then that prayer starts to change. It's important that we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. It's important that we don't make these absolute judgments. The only thing that is consistent when it comes to prayer and it comes to words is that we do not make a ritual of it. We do not make a false idol of it. We do not say the words are the power. The words are neutral. It is what is meant behind the words. So finally, I'll say this. We all know, in terms of this world, quote unquote, when somebody is saying something to us, but their body language, their energy, screams that's totally in disagreement with what they're saying. We've all had that experience. When literally they're saying something other than what they're saying. And Ralph Waldo Emerson said something like, "Who you are speaks so loudly, I can hardly hear a word you're saying." So please know that we don't really hide anything behind these words. We can try to be that spiritual ego and be all polished. But in reality, what we're really there for is to heal. And what we're really asking for is what we're going to receive. So it's helpful just to surrender and to really get authentic and be honest with ourselves, what's really going on, what we're really looking for in the experience. Because that's when we're going to be more and more in tune with and learn the power of our minds, which is what we're here for. Thanks for letting me share. I'm dropping the mic for Tom. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Lisa. Thanks, everyone. This is one of my most favorite subjects. I'll second everything Lisa said, and I'll add a little bit about my experience with prayer and how it has worked for me and how I've learned to sort of understand prayer. First of all, in the 50 principles of miracles, Jesus says that prayer is the medium of miracles, that it's a form of God's children communicating with God, God's creations communicating with God. So prayer is what communication is. And he also says that miracles arise from a miraculous state of mind. He calls it miracle readiness. And what that means to me is that one who is in unison with the Holy Spirit in his mind has no blocks in the channel of communication between himself and God. Okay? Blocks may always arise, but in a certain state of mind, those blocks are not there. The mind is open for giving and receiving communication. So the Holy Spirit is actually here to teach us how to pray. We pray with the Holy Spirit, to the Holy Spirit, and through the Holy Spirit onto God. The Holy Spirit is here to restore our direct communication with God. End of story. So the miracle, Jesus says, is a communication device. So the miracle is a means of opening up the channel of communication between yourself and God, and yourself and all of your brothers and sisters, whom you may think of as being in the world, but your brothers and sisters are really just souls who are like you, the same as you, and part of God as you are. So, the only prayer that God can hear and answer directly is a prayer of giving and a prayer of gratitude for receiving. The miracle being an act of giving, a prayer of giving, it is also an act of receiving, which is why the miracle is said to be a way of recognizing that giving and receiving are the same. So for me, the only prayer that God has ever answered to me directly was a prayer of being able to experience and to share the attributes of my soul and to be able to share those attributes with all others so that they may be able to recognize their own soul along with me. That is the only prayer I ever made that was answered by God directly. In this prayer, all of my brothers were with me. They're part of me. And so I could never pray for myself alone because I did not know myself to be alone. And that's the miracle, folks. The prayer of the heart that includes all of your brothers. One can pray for centuries. Literally for centuries, one can pray and never be answered because the prayer is being made by the thought of separation. And one can just as easily not study the Course in Miracles, not even believe in God, not even do anything, but in one moment, in one situation, in some sort of something, decide that they would like to share with their brother because their brother is their equal. And that's what Jesus says is the requirement to be a teacher of God, is to see your interest as being the same as that of your brothers. So what is that saying except your prayer to God shall include your brothers, otherwise God will not hear you. God does not hear insanity coming from an ego that thinks it is praying. God hears the prayer of your heart and the prayer of your soul, which must always include your brothers. Always, 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 always. No exceptions ever. That's what prayer means to me. Now, I do also pray for guidance, which sort of seems to be like a personal prayer. It's like, Holy Spirit, tell me what to do, do it with me, do it through me, do it for me, whatever. But I seem to be using the word me. But that me does not represent Tom Glaude, the little ego that knows nothing, wants nothing, I mean wants everything, gives nothing. The me refers to my soul and my mind in service of the Holy Spirit. That's why I'm asking the Holy Spirit for guidance, because I'm placing my mind willingly under His service and under the service of my own soul in unison with God. Even that prayer seems to be personal, like guide me, but if I'm asking for guidance, then clearly that guidance is to say or do or perform whatever task that will bring the most benefit to me and everyone around me. It's not a personal prayer. And one more thing I'll say. Somewhere in the, I think it's the beginning chapters of the Course, Jesus says you cannot pray for yourself alone. And He says that the atonement is a pure act of sharing. So that means a true prayer must include your brothers with no exceptions. That's why it is necessary to lay the ego aside before you are able to pray. Because if your ego wants to add anything to your prayer, suddenly no one is equal, no one is included. That's why you cannot use your ego in prayer. It'll never work, ever. And even when it seems to work, it doesn't work. So what I'm saying is that the Holy Spirit is trying to literally teach us how to communicate with God, how to communicate with our brothers, and how we are all collectively in constant communication with God, and this communication is unbroken. It does not depend on your awareness, it does not depend on anything. It is happening here and now, okay? Whether you know if it's happening or what it is that's happening is a whole other story that is absolutely even meaningless. So we are studying the Course so that we may become aware of our unbroken communication with each other and with God. And like I said before, let us pray with the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, to the Holy Spirit. He is the channel that can bring revelation to us, and we can hear God's answer directly. So, and Lisa says, prayer without the Holy Spirit is with ego by default. Yes, exactly. Okay, so we have 4 minutes to close things up. I will hand the mic over to Lisa.
Thanks, Tom. I'm just going to say something really quickly, is that we have this amazing power to pull the wool over our own eyes. We have this amazing power to completely delude ourselves, to come up with a story, to come up with a scenario, and convince ourselves that this actually is happening. All the way from the basic belief that we could be separate from our source. But we've all told ourselves a story, and then we found out other information. I can think that somebody is mad at me right now. And then they could say something later on that shows me that, no, it had nothing to do with me. They were just upset about something else. Whatever it is, we are praying. We are praying for the experience by focusing our mind on that thought, by giving it the power of belief. We are praying. And so we are experiencing the results of that prayer no matter what. No prayer really goes unanswered. The thing is that if we are praying to the ego, it is telling ourselves a story and believing it. It is strengthening the fear in our mind because we're just magnifying it. We're focusing on it. But prayer with the Holy Spirit is focusing on what's true only and really tuning into that and tuning into the love and the power within. But realizing that we do not want to decide for ourselves, that we do not want to come up with these stories, that we want the truth instead, and that we want to speak from that truth. And as our mind is healed, we're more and more in peace. And as we're more and more in peace, we are guided, people come into our lives that we are supposed to speak to help them to awaken and listen to the truth in their minds as well. So the words are important, but yet not important. The only thing that gives it any importance is the meaning and the purpose that's given it. But we've all heard of the self-fulfilling prophecy. If I focus and focus and focus so much on what I don't want, I will be really wanting that. I will say, well, I hope this thing doesn't happen. I hope this thing doesn't happen. I hope this thing doesn't happen. Meanwhile, I will experience what I hope doesn't happen. It may not literally happen in form, but it will happen to a degree because I will be experiencing it in the worrying. Worry is a form of prayer. It is. It's just praying to the ego. And so the last thing I'll say, you know, again, this medium where people get on the microphones and they share in this way is helpful. I have heard teachers get on the microphone and say they don't know why they get on the microphone because they feel they're only speaking to themselves. And while it's true that our purpose is to accept the atonement for ourselves and we're not there to change anyone else, speaking for ourselves and speaking to ourselves is speaking to our brothers because we are one. We are one. We do not just speak to ourselves, separate selves, ever. Ever. So this is a really great way to develop trust, to get past that doubt. When we start listening to and allowing the teacher within to speak to us and through us, to take the microphone or to start speaking or to write or whatever, to train ourselves to realize that we do know the truth and it is our right and we do not want to think with the ego. Thank you so much for joining us. This is going to be posted on gentlelessons.com. I'm going to drop it for Tom to say his goodbyes, and thank you so much.
All right. Thank you all for coming. Join us on Friday afternoon at 4:30 Eastern Standard Time, and we will carry on. Thank you. God bless you, and good night.